I am very excited to be here this morning to worship the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with you. It is an absolute delight. I love Sunday mornings. I love being with God's people. I love being challenged and strengthened to then go out and live for Christ. So it's great to be with you this morning. I am also privileged to live in a country and to have the utmost admiration and respect for those who served our country. I would like to personally thank you, men and women, for serving, for giving me an opportunity to basically play baseball. In a country that is totally free, where I was able to make a living playing a silly game of baseball, all because men died to give me that freedom. And trust me, I am grateful. I am very humbled by it. I have a celebrity status only because the values of our country are a little skewered. But celebrity status I do have because I was able to play baseball. And so I do thank you, men. I also would like to know who's here that normally doesn't come here. Can you just throw up your hand real quick? Who's here that doesn't come here? Great. Great to have you. And thank you so much for being here. Thank you for those who had the courage to invite their friends, or maybe you saw the sign or whatever. But, I am, bottom line, got saved. In fact, I just had my spiritual birthday, November 6th, a couple days ago. Got saved in 1983. And I'm just, thrilled. And God kind of gifted me in the area of evangelism. And so, as I, in time here, will share the gospel, I just want you to know the intent, not only for those who may not be saved to come to know Jesus, but for also for those of us who are. I love Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, where it says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching." And so I'm really here to stimulate. I'm here to challenge. Because one of the great things that we have as lovers and followers of Christ is that we have it. We have eternal life. We have our sins are forgiven, heaven is our home, God is our Father, and we need to constantly be stimulated. We need to constantly be challenged, because you know what the draw is? The draw is to just kind of gather and get in our holy huddles and love on each other and forget the real reason why God saved us, and why God called us, and what his real heart is. And that, of course, is to seek and to save the lost. That's the bottom line. Fellowship is wonderful, brothers and sisters. We know that. We love the fellowship. We excel, if the truth be known. We excel in fellowship, don't we? We really do. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's God's gift to us. But God has called us really for an entirely different purpose. Not a different purpose, but I'm going to even say better than purpose. But one of the interesting things, and I hope you're ready to be challenged. I can recall in Matthew 16 where Jesus says to his guys, basically, "Who do the people say that I am?" And they were giving him all kinds of Elijah and John the Baptist. And he says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter, boom, "You are the Christ." And man, the Lord says, basically right on. You know, the Father has told you that. But then right after that, after the Lord tells him, basically, he's on his way to Jerusalem to get crucified, Peter corrects him and says, no, Lord, that ain't what you got to do. That ain't got to happen. And the Lord says to him, get behind me, Satan. Now, that's pretty bold. That's pretty brash. But that's what the Lord said to one of his followers. And sometimes we have to be willing to take and to understand when maybe we're excelling in a certain area or we're thinking some things that really aren't what God would have us to say and to think. And I think one of those areas is really in the of evangelism, of being able to share our faith, of being able to love. The you look at in Luke 15 where it talks about the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the prodigal son, of course, where it really talks about the joy in heaven when something that is lost is found. And that's how heaven feels. But what we miss is, and what I always like to encourage the folks in church is that, you know, the older brother was every bit as lost as the prodigal son. The prodigal went out into the world and just made a total mess of things. But you know who else was a mess? Was the son living in the father's house. And I'm always concerned about that as I talk to a group of Christians, so just so that they know that they are every bit as lost as those on the outside. There is no good in any of us, the scripture says, that all have sinned. There's none righteous. It's important that we have the heart of God. That's what's important. Not what we do, but who we are on the inside is what God is. Well, it's what's authentic faith. It's what is authentic belief. And so, as I share my testimony real quickly, I certainly baseball was my God, athletics was my God, and I became very good at it. I made it to the big leagues before at the age of 20, and began to just accumulate all sorts of awards and celebrity status and accolades from the world, made the all-star teams, made a lot of money. My attitude was basically loving things and using people. I was as lost. I had grown up in a religious home, always believed in God, but really God had no part in my life. It was all about Frank Tanana. So I got out to California and started living the Playboy lifestyle and just running around crazily. You need to know that I am a great example that no one is outside the amazing love of God. You need to know that. Trust me, you would not have wanted to know me 30 years ago. And so, you know, never think that someone is so far gone that God cannot touch them and save them. Because I was as off the charts as a man could be off the charts. God wonderfully began to work in my life when I, of all things, hurt my arm. I used to pitch. Nowadays, if a pitcher goes 6 innings, they call that a quality start, and they say, nice going. When I was a younger man, if you didn't go 9 innings, every time you pitched, they would find somebody else to do that because that's what was required of a starting pitcher. And so from all that pitching and all that carousing and sinful living off the field, I ended up hurting my arm. And from hurting my arm, I began to question, what exactly is life all about? And I had a chaplain who wonderfully opened up God's Word and shared with me about Jesus Christ, and that I could know for a fact that I was saved. See, the religion I was raised in, you couldn't know. There was no assurance of salvation. So that did intrigue me. And so as I heard about the gospel, he asked me if I wanted to become a follower of Christ, a born-again believer. And I said, I didn't really know what in the world he was talking about. So I said, no, I'm fine, you know, just the way I am. And I thought, well, that would be it for him. He just kind of, you know, wouldn't be my friend anymore. But he was the chaplain, and he just wonderfully kept loving me and just being my friend. And so I got a bad arm, and I hear the gospel. I just had gotten married that January. My wife basically proposed to me, and I said yes. Kathy did say to me, she said, look, after we'd been dating for a while, she says to me, by the way, I'm not going through another summer as your girlfriend. So I'm Polish, so it took me a little while, but then I said to her, let me get this straight. So either we marry or we break up. She said, you got it, pal. And so 2-3 weeks went by, and I just couldn't live without her, so I asked her to marry her. So I'm newly married, got a bad arm. I hear the gospel, and Lyman Bostock, who is a right fielder of ours, we'd gotten from the Minnesota Twins, and he wisely left them, came to us. And he was our right fielder, and Lyman thought it would be a good idea to go party or just to whatever. I don't know the background really of it, but Lyman went to Gary, Indiana after a night game in Chicago of early September, and Lyman was shot to death in Gary, Indiana. Lyman was about 27, 28 years of age, had everything that the world had to offer, but boom. Played with him on Friday, Tuesday, we buried Lyman in Southern California. So that was all going through my head, and my life was kind of in a turmoil. My significance was wrapped up in being a baseball player. That's where I really felt good about myself, that I was a big league player, and now that was soon to be taken away. So when Kathy says to me, Frank, let's go to this Bible study that John and Kay are putting on, I said, great, I'll go to the Bible study. I had went for two reasons, basically. One, somebody had said to me when I first got married, they said, Frank, you'd be very wise when your wife wants to do something to do it. That would be a good move. You know, something about a happy wife, happy life is what I think they said. And that, guys, if you're married and don't get anything else from today, that's good counsel. That is good counsel, okay? Secondly, I just thought, really, that, you know, I hadn't been spending any time in God's Word. I had never really even read it. And I just knew that if I were to go to a Bible study, God would heal my arm. You know what I'm saying? None of you have ever probably thought anything like that or done anything like that. But I figured, hey, I'm going to this study. God's going to think, great, let's heal him. He can be a star again on top of the world. So I go to this Bible study. Not the best of motives, but I go. I take my six-pack. I got my cigarettes. I got my filthy language. And I show up at this Bible study. And they just begin to teach the word. They don't judge me. I'm just who I am. They accept me for who I am. And lo and behold, my wife comes to faith in Christ. She too was raised in a religious home, but she realized that it wasn't about religion, it wasn't about works, it was just all about faith in what Christ did on the cross for her. So she trusts Christ. Well, I'm going through all kinds of stuff in my head. I got a lot going on in my life. I don't really understand, but I do hear, hey, all you got to do is pray this prayer. Really? All I got to do is pray a prayer, and I'm in. I know that I'm going to heaven and not hell if I pray this prayer. Now, in my religion, prayers were no big deal. We prayed all the time. So, cool.
I got me a prayer that I can pray to go to heaven. I'm in. I'm praying. So I prayed the prayer, but I said to God basically three things. I said, I'm not going to be a Jesus freak. John's a Jesus freak. He's carrying his Bible around with him wherever he goes. Guys are making fun of him. They're mocking him. I'm doing that. I'm making fun of him and mocking him. I don't want that. So, you know, thank you, but I'm not going to be a Jesus freak. Two, I'm not going to be poor. I'll give you some of the money that I've made, but I'm not giving it all to you. Because, you know, I had this funny idea that God really loved the poor. Now, we know that's true, but it's the poor in spirit that God really loves. It isn't the poor in money, lack of money that God loves. We know God loves the poor in spirit. Many of the men in the Bibles were extremely wealthy, wealthy men. But it's the poor in spirit. But I didn't know that. I thought he wanted my, all of, you know, I gotta be poor in money. And I had at this point in time, I'd signed one of the richest contracts in all of baseball. So I said, whoa, that ain't happening. So I'll give you some. So I'm not going to be a Jesus freak. I'm not going to be poor money-wise. And I'm not going to Africa. There's just no way. I don't want to go to Africa. I thought the real serious people, boom, you were missionaries. It was Africa you had to go. And I wasn't, that wasn't me. I just want to play ball. That's all I want to do. So I, in the next 4 or 5 years, go around thinking and telling people that I'm born again. And I'm saved. And I'm, bottom line, I'm full of it, is what I am. Because there is no magic prayer, people. There is no words that you can say that God has to hear. God doesn't care about what comes out of your mouth, I learned. God cares again. We're back to the heart. We're back to what's going on in your heart. And so wonderfully, and I'm going to Bible studies. I'm going to chapel on Sunday. I'm doing some of the Christian stuff. And also, though, when I'm on my own and we're on the road and I'm playing ball, I'm still sinning. And I'm just living a double life. I'm a double agent is what I am. And, you know, I thought I was told this too. Maybe y'all have heard this. What a forgiving God, how forgiving God is, that all I had to do is after sinning, just ask for forgiveness and boom, I was fine. So that's my thinking. And wonderfully, and God's got some great stuff in his word, doesn't he? He really, really does. And so a couple of things I got to share with you. These are just amazing. And God spoke directly to me through these verses. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this. And he says in verse 21 to 23, listen carefully. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we even perform miracles in your name, Lord? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Whoa. Whoa, y'all ever read that? Y'all ever check that out? That spoke to me so clear that Frank, you're in trouble, my man. You are in trouble. But he who does the will of my Father. Another verse that God showed me that radically rocked my world was in James, the 2nd chapter, the 19th verse. It says this, you believe that God is one, you do well, but the demons also believe and shudder. Whoa. So I'm in a hotel room, go to Carefree, Arizona. I'm at a Christian conference of all places. And it's at this conference on November 6, 1983, that I realized that what I had basically was a demonic faith in Christ. We see from the Gospels that the devils know who Christ is. They called out when he was going to exorcise them and get rid of them. They said, "Hey, Son of God, what do you got to do with us? Leave us alone, would you?" They know who he is. They believe in him. But that's not saving faith. Just mere intellectual assent about Jesus Christ. That's what I thought belief was. Just merely giving some assent to some facts from Scripture. That's not saving faith. That's not saving faith. Saving faith, folks, is when you must understand. You must certainly know the facts and understand what went on, have the knowledge, but you've got to have a love for Christ, and you've got to just, bottom line, not tell God what you're going to be doing, but just be out of love, willing to walk in obedience to whatever God says, because you love him. Because you love him. That's saving faith. That's what the grace of God will do in a person's life. And so, I'm in this hotel room. Man, oh man. And I'm like, I'm hearing these things. And so, I am just crushed. I am broken. I am on my knees before God. I am bawling. I am just broken, convicted by the Holy Spirit in a wonderful way where I just simply cry out to God. I cry out to God, realizing that Jesus Christ had died on the cross, bottom line, took my place, that I deserved to be crucified, that I was the sinful party. I was the one who deserved the wrath that was poured out upon Christ and not him. But that he loved me so much that he willingly went to the cross, suffered and died, paid the penalty for my sin. That's what it means to have a personal relationship with God. It finally hit me. That's what a faith is all about. I just, through my reading of Scripture, fell in love with Christ. Could not any longer. God wonderfully opened my eyes to the hypocrisy of my faith, of the way I was living, and finally understood what it meant to be saved. What it meant to become born again. What it meant to become a follower of Jesus Christ. So on November 6th, as I cried out to God to save me, come into my life, no games, no pretenses, nothing I'm not going to do. I'm just lost. I need to be found. I am dead. I need life in Christ. Come into me and save me. Just like that, God did. I can't, unless you experience the forgiveness and the love of God, I can't tell you anymore. You'll have no idea what I'm talking about. But for those of you who have, you know what I'm talking about. It was like being washed, like of having 100 pounds of dirt and just being washed clean. I was so amazed, so overwhelmed by the love of God that I was speechless. I really was speechless. But I began from that moment on to go directly into God's Word. And here's what. Here's why, folks. Those who truly, genuinely love Christ love His Word. Because when you become a follower of Christ and you humble yourself and you ask Christ in, God pours His Spirit, the Word of God says, into you. And the Spirit who is now in you will immediately take you to the Word of God, which the Spirit of God through man wrote. This will be your passion. Okay? This will be your passion. This will be your life. This, you will realize, is a love letter from your Heavenly Father to you, telling you about Himself, how to praise Him, how to love Him, how to adore Him, telling you how to live life in a manner that will please Him. Because that's why we do what we do, because we want to glorify Him. Saints, as you know, it's not about us. It's not about us looking good or how we look to others. It's all about our lives reflecting the amazing glory of God and the love of God so that He looks good and He is honored, not us. And so I began to just get into God's Word and just do what it said to do. I had a guy teach me, train me, disciple me, whatever you want to say. Right after I prayed, Lord, come into my life, I said, Lord, give me somebody that's legit. Give me somebody that's not a phony and not a hypocrite. I know hundreds of those who are calling themselves Christians who have no idea what's going on. I don't want that. I need somebody legit. God brought me to a man by the name of Doug Sherman. Doug poured his life into me. He taught me how to pray. He taught me how to do Bible study. He always answered my questions with the Word of God, not his opinions, not what he thought, but what God had to say. It was thrilling. I began to now go to church excited to learn about God, to praise God, to even just sing from a heart just filled with amazing love of God. I can't sing a lick, but I didn't care. I'm singing anyways, because you know what? God, it's a beautiful sound to God. He knows He didn't give me a good voice to sing. He don't care. He just wants me to sing. So sing I do. And then also, to not only have a love for now the family of God, but to have a love for just people. And knowing that then, as I began to learn how to share my faith, and just to go, knowing that, you know what, gang? I save no one. You save no one. That's not your job. Our job is just to tell about the wonder of Christ. And you know what else is amazing? You know what most are going to do? They're going to mock. They're going to ridicule. They're going to make fun of you. That's what they're going to do. God has told us that. He said, few are those who find the door, who is Christ, to walk through. The majority find that wide road to destruction. God is love. God is forgiving. God is everywhere. All is God. God is all. Most people will find that. They're by that. They're not going to buy Christ. But that's not our issue. Our issue is just to tell them. Somebody had the courage to tell me. And another neat thing that started to happen in my life was I was raised, I was an angry kid. My father was an alcoholic. I was an angry man. No reason to be angry, but I was angry. God began to get rid of that anger. I was a stone cold drunk. God took away my desire for alcohol and the need to get drunk. I was a big into pornography and videos and magazines. God wonderfully showed me that, you know what, pal? I have given you, outside of Christ, a great gift in Kathy, your wife. She is all you need. And by the power of God, people, she's all I've needed. She's all. That crap began to just get out of my life. I don't need to go on and look at porn. I've got Kathy. I've got my wife. We've had 30 wonderful years together. All because, you know what? God is good. God is all powerful. And there is no sin too great for God. Listen to this, saints. The power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. Man. There is nothing too big for God if He's living inside of you. And you're not doing it your way, but you're doing it God's way. You're understanding what it means to be filled. That's a whole other talk, but I hope you understand and love the Holy Spirit of God who is inside of you. And that you have died and that it's all about God. That's for a whole other talk. But that's, you got to learn about the Holy Spirit that lives in you. So now I begin to love my wife. I begin to love my daughters. My daughters come to Christ. I just see, again, this amazing transformation that God talks about, that those who love Him will be changed more and more into the image of Christ. Christ's character is not perfectly, but is wonderfully my character. Not because I'm so good. I've told you who I am. But God's power is amazing when we let God be God and follow and do things His way. He turns us into loving and humble and pure and people of integrity and people full of good works and people that are just very, very winsome. One of the beauties about Christ, if you'll remember and read the Gospels, the people loved Jesus. And they loved Jesus because His attitude was, I will serve and not be served. That's why I've come. And He met the people's needs. The people loved Jesus Christ. If you'll get into God's Word, if you will sell out to Christ, you will be changed, you'll be excited, you'll have honestly more friends than you know what to do with, because people out there, gang, outside these walls, are dying for a friend. They are dying for someone to love them, someone to pour their life into them, and that is what God calls us to do. We call ourselves followers of Christ. We must live as Christ lived. We must serve. Remember, heaven's our home. We are aliens and strangers. Do not expect to be loved by the world. Jesus said, what? They've killed me. They're going to want to kill you too. Could we not begin to revel in that? Could we not begin to get excited about the world spitting at us and mocking us and wanting to crucify us and not love us? That's the way it is. Only compromise will get the world to love you. Your message, that is. Because I'm telling you, they may not agree with what you're telling them, but they will love you if you love them. They will. People are just so in need to be loved. So anyways, it's been awesome. It's been absolutely amazing to see God work in my life. To see who I am today versus who I was 30 years ago, 15 years ago. It's so phenomenal. Isn't it great to just know that God is real? And God is so amazing. And I just want to make sure, as we're about to close, that you understand. Because you really do need to understand. God has given us His Word, and He wants us to understand, basically, how to get saved. How much He loves us. But we don't get saved because of certain things we think about or things that we want. It must be done God's way. It must be done God's way. We're all, again, I was so convoluted through the religious training that I was raised with, through my own thoughts and ideas of what others had told me. I formulated my own religion. I formulated my own brand of Christianity. And you know what? That's demonic. That's demonic. So now listen up very, very carefully. And if you know Christ and aren't sharing Him with others, just listen carefully, because it's not difficult. There's only a few points that we need to share with those who are lost so that they could understand, and we point them to Jesus is all that we do. But we always, kind of like a doctor. I like this as a doctor. I go to a doctor, and the doctor I'm diagnosed. He knows I got cancer, right? He knows I got cancer. But you know what he says to himself? If I tell him that news, he's really not going to like me. And it's really going to hurt his feelings. And so you know what? Why don't I just tell him everything's fine? And then everything will be good. What kind of doctor is that? Is that not a quack? Is that not somebody who shouldn't be practicing medicine? Well, that's the same thing we have to do. And listen up, folks. We all need to know this. And it's just through the Romans Road. There are various ways of sharing the gospel. It's real easy for me because I just like to use the bases. We go to first base, second base, third base, and home. First thing, first base, you need to explain to people. And we need to know in our heart of hearts is that Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have been lawless. All have, again, iniquity, sin, whatever it is, you need to know that you are guilty before a holy God who demands absolute perfection, okay? That is God's demand. That is God's requirement. He is holy. He can have nothing to do with anything that is unholy. Guess what, gang? You are unholy. You are a sinner, separated from a holy God. You need to know that. Secondly, going to second base, you need to know Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. Not only physical death, but dead spiritually. Totally separated from God spiritually. That's why I had everything that the world had to offer. Money and celebrity status, fame, you name it. I had it. And that's why there was still a emptiness. There was still a void in my life. And I couldn't understand it. But the reason was there wasn't God in my life. There was all me, but that doesn't satisfy. That doesn't fulfill. That leaves you empty. And so I was empty because I was dead spiritually. So I'm a sinner. I'm dead spiritually. Two of the best words in the scriptures, this little phrase, but God. But God. Romans 5:8, third base. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amazingly, God sent his Son, the perfect Lamb of God, to walk this earth, the earth that he had created, to take on our punishment. Scripture says for to become sin on our behalf. That's amazing. That's amazing that Jesus Christ would do that. He would take a punishment that is totally inhumane. Totally. He was beaten. He was spit at. He was mocked. He had thorns crushed into his skull. He had his back whipped raw. No doubt could have seen his organs. He was beaten, Scripture says, to the point where you could not recognize him. They beat him that bad. He then had his hands and his feet nailed to a cross. And you need to know that that should have been you. You see, put yourself there and you will exalt and glory and never be ashamed of Jesus Christ ever again when you realize that the crucifixion was yours. You're guilty. Christ was not. That's all good to know. And you're real close to home. You're real close to becoming a child of God. John 1:12 says this, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Romans 10:9 and 10 says that if You confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. The most amazing thing is when you receive Christ, remember I told you, God can have nothing to do with unrighteousness. God can have nothing to do with sin. Sin separates. Sin kills. When you trust Christ by an act of your mind, your heart, and your will, you give your all to Christ. At that moment, you receive his righteousness. Absolutely amazing. He took your sin. You get his righteousness. In God's eyes, you are seen as righteous. The other great phrase in Scripture, but God and in Christ. In Christ is what we must be to be a child of God. There's nothing you can do. It's all by God's grace. Through faith are you saved. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Not as a result of works that no one should boast. Not as a result of religion. Not as a result of some ritual. By faith. By faith are you saved. My question to you today, where are you? Are you in Christ? Or not. Christ loves you. He proved it on the cross. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your Savior. If you don't know him, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. You just come by faith. I'm going to pray a prayer, and it's the sinner's prayer. It's a prayer that, again, mixed with a heart that is broken, a heart that is humbled, a heart that is ready to receive God into their life, laying down your rights and just receiving Christ, you can become a child of God. It's by faith. Let me pray. If God has convicted you, if you realize that you are lost and long to be found, if that you're dead and you want life, pray this after me in the quietness of your heart. God knows your heart. Say these words, Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I have broken the commands of God and that I deserve hell. I am guilty. I am dead in my sins. Thank you. Thank you, thank you for dying on the cross, paying the penalty, suffering, shedding your blood, paying the penalty for my sin. I believe that you rose again from the dead, that you are alive today. By your Spirit, come into my life and save me. Be my Lord and be my Savior. And I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. 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 Now, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I would like you to stand right where you're at. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, Christ was not ashamed to go to the cross and to die for you. If you genuinely love Christ and have committed to following him and him being your Lord and Savior, I would ask that you would stand, not to put you on the spot, but just to revel and welcome you as a child of God into God's family. Did anybody pray that prayer? That is how one comes to faith in Christ. That is how one becomes a child of God. My prayer is that you will meditate, you will have that assurance
Listen to what 1 John 5:11-12 says. It says this, "And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life." God wants you to know, God wants you to have that assurance that you are saved, that you have Christ by faith, not by works, not by ritual, but by faith. I pray that you will dive into His Word. If you don't have that assurance, that you will get into a Bible study, that you will begin to read the Word of God for yourself, in particular the book of John, so that you would come to understand, because there's a lot of confusion out there, you would come to understand just how much Jesus Christ loves you and what He did for you. You are so valuable to Christ that He died on a cross and He shed His blood. And saints, I pray that you will ask God for boldness. You would ask God to fill you and empower you. The Spirit of God was given to exalt Christ and to glorify Christ. And the way we do that is by living obediently, lovingly, speaking to others, having a heart for those that are lost, those who will spend eternity in hell. Pray for a broken heart for your friends that don't know Christ. Pray for them. We have it all. We have heaven as our home. We have nothing to do but be filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, walk according to God's commands, and tell others just how amazing Jesus Christ is. When I came to Christ, those three things, I am honestly and just ever so glad that I am a bona fide Jesus freak. Now, I don't know if you could tell that, but I love Jesus, and I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Two, the money that I have and the money that you have is all God's. It's not yours. We are but stewards to give and do whatever His Word tells us to do with the funds that He's blessed us with. And three, I have not been to Africa yet. And certainly, wonderfully, right after I got saved, it was great. God brought a national who was studying and sent him back to South Africa. So Kath and I are supporting ministries in Africa, but hopefully one day soon I'll get a chance to go and minister myself and do the things. God is so powerful, and we have certain ideas, but when He comes and He takes over, Matt, things change, don't they? And we just get a whole new set of values, a whole new set of thinking, and it's wonderful. So I'm so glad to be here. Let me close, if I could, just pray for you guys, okay? Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for this morning. I praise You, for You are a holy, holy, holy God. You are all-powerful. You are faithful. Thank You for Your Word, which is true. And I thank You and praise You that You are a loving God. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for giving us Your Son. Lord Jesus, thanks for being obedient to Your Father and just allowing Yourself to be crucified, paying the penalty for our sin. Holy Spirit of God, would You continue? May we listen to You. May we hear Your voice. May we know and ask You to fill us on a daily basis. For truly that flesh is strong and needs to be just ruled daily. So I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that You will walk with us and fill us. Father, for my brothers and sisters here, I just pray that, again, as we gather, it's a good thing. It's a great thing. May we stimulate one another to love and good deeds. May You break our hearts, Lord, for those out there that don't know You, that so need Jesus.
May we be bold for Christ. May your kingdom grow as we live our lives for Christ and for his kingdom. And it's in his matchless, wonderful name that I pray. And all of God's people said, amen. 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 Thank you.